Good morning, church. I am just delighted to be here with you this morning. And someone was pointing to the bulletin, to a name, and I was like, I don't get it.
He was like, well, it's your name. You're here. I said, yes, I am here. By the grace of God, I am here. And so it's always an honor and a privilege to be with you all here. And I think that God has brought us in for a purpose, to listen and to hear His Word. The most important thing that we can do is to come together to open God's Word and to see what God has for us. Because more and more, as we see through the Bible, as we see through Scripture, as we are seeing all these things taking place, we come to realize that the world needs more of God. We need more of God. And so this morning, as we get started, we are ending our topic today, our series on brokenness. But before, I want us to pray and ask the Lord to lead us. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so humbled by Your presence. Lord, please, I pray that each and every person that's here, may they be open to receive Your Word. Your Word is truth. Send Your Holy Spirit, Lord. Enlighten us, mold us, shape us to be more like You. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I will never understand, but there's a mystery of life. There's some things that we will never understand. This morning, I want to start with a story of one of my good friends from college. His name was Douglas. And Douglas, he was an extraordinary human. But you see, Douglas was quite different. Not because there was something that was different per se from any other person, but you see, Douglas suffered from a neuromuscular disease. He was bound to a wheelchair, and he had his electric wheelchair where he would move his fingers just enough so that he would move around and have some type of freedom. But something that was so impactful in my life as I contemplated the story of Douglas is that Douglas, he didn't let his situation or his physical limitations, he didn't let those things define him. You know, many of us, if we didn't have our legs, or maybe we had a spinal cord injury, or maybe we couldn't walk anymore, I don't know how many of us would be able to say, you know what? Well, I guess this is it. And we would give up. But this wasn't Douglas. You see, Douglas, he decided to do something extraordinary. He decided to go to college. Now that's significant all in itself. And I can remember being in a classroom, and he would wheel his wheelchair, his electric wheelchair, right into the classroom, and he would sit right there in the front with his mother. And the deal is, he didn't have enough strength in his hand to hold a pencil. But I tell you, he would put you to shame because his mind was so sharp. He could remember every single thing that the teacher would say. And it was quite extraordinary. Whenever they would have an exam, they would go into the hallway, he would exit the classroom, they would go into the hallway, and he would sit there with his mom, and his mom would write down the answers. He would just tell her the answers, and he would write in the answers. And this is the most extraordinary part of Douglas, because you see, Douglas had straight A's. He was the smartest person in our class. But you see, it didn't stop there. Something that was extraordinary from Douglas is that Douglas not only had the highest grades in our class, but Douglas was our class president. Think about this. You have a person that's bound in a wheelchair, cannot even hold a pencil, and has to have their mother come and write the answers down. He did not let his experience, his current situation, define him. He did not let his particular situation and his and where he found himself to define who he could be. How many of us would race up to the challenge? How many of us would continue and to go on in spite of the difficulties of life, in spite of the challenges, or in spite of the hand that we've been dealt? You know, life sometimes is not fair. It throws us curveballs. There's things that happen to us that we would never in a million years expect that it would happen to me or that it would happen to a loved one. Never in a million years. Why did this happen to my boy? Why did this happen to a loved one, to someone who I admire, someone who I esteem? A diagnosis, a problem, a relationship. These are the difficulties of life. There is a tension that every believer eventually feels. It is the tension between what we believe and what we experience. That's the tension. We believe that God is good. We believe that God is powerful, as we saw this morning. We believe that He is faithful, and yet life doesn't always reflect that in ways that we expect. There are mysteries. There is hidden mysteries in life that we will forever wonder until we go to heaven. God, why did this happen? Why did you let this situation happen? Why, Lord? These are mysteries. I mean, I can't imagine working with special needs children. When you see the hurts, it takes special parents to cater to the every need of the child. When they cannot move, they cannot eat by themselves, or they have a tube that's sticking out of their stomach. Why, Lord? And this is the tension that we have to maneuver, the tension between what we believe and what we experience. And sure, we believe that God is powerful. We believe that He is faithful. And yet, sometimes, life doesn't always reflect what we believe. You know, we pray, we have these prayers, and sometimes they seem to go unanswered. These are the tough questions that we have to come and to talk about. This is when the rubber meets the road. We have to wonder, whenever these situations go unsolved, we have to wonder, whenever we find ourselves living in a space of tension, holding on to faith on one side while still facing brokenness on the other side. These are the questions that, if we are honest and truthful with ourselves, the Bible begs us to ask these types of questions. And if you go with me to the Bible, to Hebrews chapter 9, there's a space in Scripture where the Bible speaks right into that. And the Bible says, "So Christ was crucified once to take away the sins of many, and He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him." These are the places between two defining moments in our lives. We all have moments in our lives. Moments of good, moments of bad. While we still live in this world, we live in between moments. And this two defined moments from Scripture, the Bible is telling us that Jesus has already come, but that Jesus is coming again. two defining moments. Jesus has already come, but Jesus will come again. And right in the middle of these two realities we live, there's a space called waiting. And to be honest, many of us don't like to wait. I'm not going to follow you into the grocery store and see if there's a big line and if you are waiting there at the end, or if you go into the self-checkout because it's much easier and empty. I'm not going to follow you whenever you're in your car and you're stuck in traffic. Are you going to wait? But you see, waiting is not easy. If we're brutally honest with ourselves, we don't like to wait. We talked about this morning about patience. How many of us are patient? How many of us like to wait? You know, there's a situation here that happens because there's a tension, right? There's a tension because while we wait, not everything is restored. If we are experiencing brokenness, if we are right in this moment of these two realities, we have to come back to the moment. We have to be honest with ourselves, right? We cannot kid ourselves. We have to come to the moment where we realize that while we wait, not everything is restored. Not everything makes sense. Not everything is made right. I tell you what, this leads me to the most difficult but deeply important truth. There is brokenness we may never be delivered from in this life. Because if everything was already fixed, if everything was already good, then we wouldn't still be waiting. I mean, it breaks my heart. It is emotionally exhausting to hear text, to hear phone calls, voicemails, text messages of just suffering people, of brokenness. Please pray for me because I have a brother who is dealing with this situation. Pray for my son that is dealing with this health situation. Please pray for this other situation. Just, I mean, cancer is just rampant. The disease, tumors. It is crazy out there. There is a reality in this world that is so bleak, so empty, so full of hate, so full of violence, so full of so much. There's going to come a breaking point. Something has to give. And I tell you the truth. We naturally have to ask ourselves then, how is this good news? How is this good news? How is it a hopeful to say that some things may never be made right? And I know right now probably you're thinking to yourself, well, this is kind of a serious message for today. But I want to paint to you a picture of our current reality. Because I'm about to paint with you a picture of what the Bible has to say about it. Because if we don't come and we're not confronted with our current reality, then how on earth will we know the truth unless we are faced with our current reality? And here is why this truth is actually so freeing and so liberating. When we reframe the tension, we realize that everything doesn't have to be okay right now. And it's okay not to be okay. We live in a world that pressures us to have it all together, have all the answers, fix everything immediately. We always have to be so tidy, looking good, always presentable to people. But the reality is that sometimes we are just masking our true identity and what is really going on inside of us. There is a passage in the Bible in Romans chapter 3, 23 that says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." All, my friends, is all. There is no exceptions. All is all. But I like how Brennan Manning frames it when he says, "God loves you unconditionally as you are and not as you should be, because nobody is as they should be." The reality is we don't kid ourselves. The reality is that we all are broken. In some way, in some form, in some situation, something that was done to us, or something that we have done to someone else, or there is something that we are wrestling with, something that we have faced, and we cannot stay hidden any longer from our current reality of what is taking place. But the good news is this, that we don't have to pretend. And that, my friend, is good news. Not because brokenness is good, not because it's good, but because God meets us in it. God gets his hands dirty and he goes into the mess. Not because brokenness is good, because God dives right into the messiness of our life. And I give praise to God, because this verse in Romans 3 does not end there. If you continue to read the passage in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, the Bible says, "And all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus." All, my friends, is all. Yes, there is this picture that we all have sinned. Yes, it's true. But also, all have been justified freely. Not because of anything that we have done, but by his grace, through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. You see, it is because of Jesus that it is good news. How can we get ourselves out of the hole if it's not because of Jesus? How can we have a future if it's not because of Jesus? We spend so much time and so much energy trying to control things in life. We have things that we want to control. We want things to go a certain way. And when things don't go our certain way, then we lash out. Or we experience rage. And all that is insecurity, because things didn't go the way how we want them to go. When we lose control. Trying to make everything work out, trying to force outcomes, trying to eliminate all discomfort. Because regardless of however we view ourselves, we want to be comfortable. That's the reality. We don't want to feel discomfort. If there's something that we ought to do, we don't want to experience sacrificial love. And here's the deal. Here's the deal. We want to make everything work out, but Scripture reminds us that some things are simply going to have to wait on, but in the waiting, a new day is coming. You see, this is not the end of the story. This right here is not bad news. This is actually good news, because the story does not end here. For we wait and we live not as people without hope, but leaning on the promises of God. Because the truth is that in the midst of our brokenness and in the waiting, a new day is coming. Scripture says that Christ will come again to save those who eagerly waiting for him. Jesus is coming again, but this time to deal with sin once and for all and to restore everything. And that, my friend, is good news. I mean, I long for the day where I don't have to do or officiate any more funerals. That's a tragedy, because we were never created, we were never made to die. I long for the day where I don't have to officiate any more funerals. Comfort parents, comfort sons, come alongside and hug someone and say, it's going to be okay. I don't know about you. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know where you're being confronted. What is your challenge? What are you wrestling with this morning? What is happening in your life this morning? But if we expand a little bit more on this hope, the Bible paints a beautiful picture in Revelation 21, verse 4, when it says, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is Jesus Christ. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. Think about this. No more tears. No more tears. No more sorrow. No more death. No more crying. The way things are now is not permanent. Regardless how bad it looks, X, whatever that is for you this morning, however bad it looks, the way how things look now is not permanent. Brokenness is not final because this world is not a finished product. Heaven can be reframed. Heaven is not just clouds and images. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a new order of reality where love replaces selfishness, where justice replaces injustice, and where peace replaces violence, and where death will forever be defeated. You know, Warren Wiersbe puts it this way when he says, no matter what may happen on earth, a believer can be confident because everything is settled in heaven. You know, this place that we call world is not our home. Jesus is coming soon. Let's not get too comfortable because we're just in for a moment. Jesus is coming soon, and that's where our hope should be anchored. It should be anchored in Jesus Christ. It should be anchored in eternity. We're all walking together, journeying together, coming alongside each other, walking together with Christ because we're heaven bound. We cannot lose focus. We cannot afford to lose focus or to be distracted by the news or to be distracted by the things that are taking place in the world today. Because we are heaven bound. Jesus has said that he is coming soon, and our focus and our hope is anchored in Jesus. So the question then has to become, how do we live in the waiting? How do we live in the waiting? If we are waiting, and we have been waiting for a long, long time, it can become really hard to continue to wait. We can get tired of waiting. People may call us crazy or delusional because we continue to wait for something that has not happened. What do we do while we wait? And I think something that I have learned the more that I continue to experience in my relationship with Christ, something that I have learned is that what God is teaching us, you and me, this world is a classroom. And we get to learn how to love Jesus. We get to learn how to trust and how to obey. We remain faithful to God. This is why we're here, still waiting, being molded, being shaped by Jesus. This world is our classroom. Jesus, if we are abiding with him each and every day, he's teaching us how to learn how to abide more closely with him each and every day. So what do we do while we wait? We learn how to love Jesus more. We learn how to obey. We learn how to trust. But most importantly, we remain faithful. Regardless of whatever happens, I am not going to let anyone or anything stand in the way. No one will take my crown. Jesus has a crown for me. I will not let anyone or anything stand in the way between me and Jesus, because Jesus is coming soon, and I will see him in the clouds of glory. But another thing that we learn while we wait, what do we do while we wait, is that we learn how to love one another in the midst of our brokenness. And sure, there's some strong personalities. Sure, there's people that probably are not our cup of tea. There's people who have strong opinions. Let's just put it that way. There's things that happen. But you know, Jesus is teaching us. We are learning each and every day how to truly love one another in spite of our brokenness. Imagine having that holy love that we talked about this morning. Loving others and putting ourselves aside. Now that would be a sight to see. Because our love has been damaged by sin, has been corrupted by sin. That the way how we love is so selfish that if we get something out of it, then we think that we are truly loving, but we're being misguided. And I think the best way that I can illustrate this to you is a couple of weeks ago, I was trimming some trees. And if you ever done that, then you know that that's a hard job to do. We got our tools, we got people gathered together, and we were out there just trimming the trees before they fully bloom, because once it hits summer, it's going to be very hard to try to do any type of trimming. So whenever the leaves were not just beginning to sprout out of the branches, we began to cut those limbs. And let me tell you, that has been one of the hardest things that I've done in a while. When you cut those big tree branches, you're cutting those tree branches and you're trying to pull them into the trailer to load them in so that you can create a burn pile and carry them from one area to carry them to the other area, it's very hard. It's very difficult to do that, especially if you're trying to do that by yourself. But something that allows it for you to become much more easier is when somebody came around me and nudged me and said, hey, you know, instead of loading the whole tree branch, maybe something that you should do is you should cut the limbs from the tree. You know, you have this large tree branch, just cut it into small pieces, and then it'd be much easier for you to load it into the trailer. And I was thinking about this because individually, the branches were weak. They were fragile. They were easy to snap. They were easier to load into the trailer. But together, they were strong. It was almost impossible for me to load that big old limb, that big branch, right into the trailer. Meaning that when we are together, we are strong. Why? Because we are interwoven, just like those branches. We are interwoven. We are supporting each other. We're holding each other up. And I believe that this is a beautiful picture of the church. Alone we are weak. Alone we are vulnerable. Alone we struggle, but together we are strengthened. Think about how dangerous it is to be divided. That's why division is dangerous. Because Satan is trying to do whatever he can to divide us. What's the saying that goes? Divided, you are conquered, right? If you are divided and you are distracted, there's so many things that are coming around in the church. The devil doesn't care if he can keep us busy and not focused in the mission. We can be so distracted with the problems of, of the world, the problems that are happening even within our church, that we lose focus of the true mission and what we're all about. You see, that's why division is so dangerous, because we cannot afford to isolate ourselves. We cannot tear each other down. We cannot push people away, because we are not silos. We are not islands. We need each other. We truly need each other. You know, this is not a one-man show. It's not one person doing everything. It would be completely impossible for just one person in the church to do everything. And I think this is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, when he brings the gifts of the church and the purpose of why those gifts were given: to edify the church. We all need each other. We all need each other. We are all heading in the same direction. Why not come alongside each other and head towards heaven? And you see, since we need each other, it is in the waiting that we become a people who stay close, who carry each other, who love deeply. This is the call of Jesus. This is not what I say. This is what Jesus said in his own words in John chapter 13. When he's sitting there in the upper room with his disciples, this is the final farewell to his disciples. Jesus begins to recount to his disciples, and you would think this is the very end. This is the final instructions. It must be very important what he has to say. And he says, this is what Jesus said: "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." But here's the truth: we cannot love like Jesus until we receive his love first. How can I possibly give something that I don't have? If I'm not abiding with Jesus, if I'm not reading and studying the Word of God daily, if I'm not letting God internally come into my life, how can I possibly have the love of Christ that I can give to others first? Before we live like a family, we must believe we belong to a family. This is what it's all about. We're all heading in the same direction. We're all waiting for Jesus to come back soon. This world is just temporary. This world is not our home. We cannot lose sight. We cannot lose focus. This is not our home. We are heading towards heaven. And so I want to leave you this morning with one question. Do you believe you belong? Not because you have it all together, not because you have it all figured out, or because you're perfect, or you're tidy, or you look well, but in your brokenness, do you believe you belong? Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But today you have an opportunity. You see, it's incredible for us to see the reality of what the world is, so that we can then experience the hope of the gospel, of what Jesus brings for us. And so this morning, I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what has happened in your life, or maybe there's something that you're dealing in. It's a secret. Nobody knows. Only you and God. Whatever it is, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to recommit your life to Him. Maybe you have already accepted Jesus in the past, but life has a way of just getting in the way. And you find yourself that you're more on this side than on this side. And you maybe need to recalibrate. And you need to say, God, my life is heading in this direction, but I really just need your help. I need your help. I need to be heading in this other direction. Would you like to receive his love again? To step into the family of God again? Because brokenness is real. That's actually why we're here. Did you know the church is more like a hospital? We're not here because we have it all together. We're here because we actually need God to heal us from the inside out. It's because we are broken that we need a Savior. Waiting is hard, I know. We have been waiting for such a long, long time. But God's promises are also real. And if he said that he will come, then he will come. This is not the end. Jesus has already come into the world to save and to redeem sinners. Because Jesus is coming again, and until then, we don't wait alone. He has sent his Holy Spirit to comfort us, to reveal truth to us. He is the Parakletos. He is the one who comes beside us and stands right beside us to help us in our brokenness, in our suffering. So if you want to belong to the family of God, I want to invite you this morning as we sing our final song that you would stand with me. Maybe you have accepted Jesus. Maybe you haven't. But if you would like to accept Jesus Christ and his hope again, I would invite you to stand. If you would like to renew your commitment with God, I would like you to stand. If you would like to learn more about Jesus, I would like you to stand and do it again and do it again this morning. Stand with me if you want to recommit your life to Jesus. But as we stand and sing our final song. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have the hope of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that in spite of our brokenness, you have come into the world to redeem and to save the world, to save us from our sins. Lord, we are so incredibly thankful for the hope that we have. We don't have to live this life wondering what it would be in spite of the messiness of this world, in spite of what life has thrown at us. We know that we serve our Redeemer, our Savior. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be with us. Bless and be with each and every person that is here. Send your Holy Spirit and guide us and sustain us. For we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.